Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
Death is never cessation of being. Death is always separation. And you will be eternal either in heaven or you will be eternal in the lake of fire.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about death and hell. This message was recorded at a chapel service in 2010. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, no doubt.
In a time when we rightfully magnify grace, we rightfully rest and rejoice in the fact that the handwriting of ordinance that was against us was nailed to his cross. The sin problem is settled once and for all. In the midst of all of that, there is a tendency to overlook the fact that there is coming judgment. And the fact that people who die outside of Christ will be cast into the lake of fire. And I want to look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 2. And Paul has addressed the Gentile world and the Jewish world, and whether he was addressing an individual here or whether he is having a person, pretending he is addressing a person in the early part of these, using the rhetorical questions, whatever the case may be, he was coming to the point that judgment is coming, and it would be according to truth, and it would be according to righteousness. And I believe that we have approached even a time in Christendom that we have minimized or completely eliminated the entire concept of a judgment to come. And certainly when we study God's word, we know the case is that judgment is real. Judgment is on the way. And we see here in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Dr. Ian Paisley was in prison and he wrote a Romans commentary, and I found a real short, just that took up about five lines, not even five lines. And the note was, this was written July 29th, 1966, and while he was imprisoned. And I remember when he was released from that prison, he wrote his commentary in the book of Romans. And I saw this little gem of an outline that really expands this. So I have expanded that thought that Dr. Paisley had, and if you could ever find whether that commentary is even in print, I don't know. It's Ian Paisley commentary on Romans written while he was in prison. But we see that God is laying out a concept here. In the day, what an expectation that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13 calls it the fiery day of judgment. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it will come as a thief in the night. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 speaks of that coming judgment. Then for the believer, 2 Corinthians 5:10, all must appear before the judgment seat. That's the bema, not for sin. That sin problem was settled at the cross. But we have to be anticipating the fact that he is coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep. But when the trumpet shall sound, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And it is my personal belief that that could happen today. The trumpet could sound, and it would not hurt my feelings one bit. Have we thought much of coming day of judgment? Look at the second phrase here. God shall judge. That day is an expectation. The judge, God shall judge. What an experience that will be. If you read Old Testament history, you see that God means business when he wants his people to obey. That when people opt to go against his clear revealed law, His clear revealed word, that there is an awesome consequence to pay for that. And when Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, it is not something that we can take lightly and approach the whole aspect of sin lightly and think that I can live the way I want to live, do what I want to do, and that there would be no consequences as a result of that. Even though you are God's child, there will be consequences here for wrongdoing. Your eternal destiny is set. But this judgment is fair. Look in verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall perish without the law, as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. There are varying degrees of judgment for those that have varying degrees of knowledge and truth revealed to them. So this judgment is fair, a fair judgment. Let's look in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, because we are reminded of the fact who this judge will be, which will come up a little bit later. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. And where Paul is speaking here at Mars Hill, and there was a mocking. Some believed, some repented, some mocked, some procrastinated. Normally three responses to a message. Some will procrastinate, some will mock, and some will receive. But at verse 31, but he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Now Paul is in the message to this Greek culture. They could not accept the truth of a resurrection. They could not make any sense of a body, of a soul wanting to re-inhabit a body. But Paul is preaching the whole gospel here. He has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. That judgment will be a righteous judgment. Now note this, by that man whom he hath ordained. And that man is Jesus Christ. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men that he raised him from the dead. And there is a day of judgment that is sure. It is a judgment that is going to be meted by the one who is now the Savior. Not only is that judgment fair, it is final. Now, for the lost person, there is the final casting into the lake of fire. Let's turn back to the book of Revelation chapter 20. And if you are here at school, you are still unregenerate. Maybe you're professing to be saved, but you're thinking, I can survive. I think I can make another 3 weeks. I'm not saved. Some people think I am. People who know me well know I am not. But I am going to just take my chances. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell, note this, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I remember a few years back, a youth group from Kentucky was coming back from a trip, and a drunk man in a pickup truck came across the median, hit that bus head on, then his pickup went around the side, hit the side of the bus, ignited the gas tank on fire, and the teenagers burned up in that bus. Now, this was a church youth group, a Bible-believing church youth group. Now, let's just suppose that on that bus was a 17-year-old or a 15-year-old, and that person was going through the motions. No heart for God, absolutely no desire for God to run the life. Then on that bus was a young person who had come under conviction of sin, maybe at camp or in a morning service. came under conviction of sin, acknowledged the need, repented of that sin, received Christ as Savior. Both of those individuals burned up in that bus. One went instantly to be with the Lord. The other one went to hell. Luke 16 describes that picture of hell. Hell is not the final place. Hell is a holding place until the casting into the lake of fire. If somebody were to commit a crime and that person were picked up here on the campus, that person would not be taken to prison. That person would be taken to Marinette County Jail. The Marinette County Jail will hold that individual until the trial. And then at the trial, the judge would give the final assignment to the big house. A person is not sent instantly. And when a lost person dies, he is in hell. And that is described in Luke chapter 16. But then that is the place of hell. But death is the place of the departed body. Hell is the place of the departed soul. If you want any hint of what that is, read Luke chapter 16. And they're saying, Father Abraham, send someone to warn my brothers, lest they also come to this place of torment. And he answered, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word of God. If they don't hear the word of God, they will not repent, though someone were to come from the dead. If someone were to go from hell and tell them, repent, it's a real place. They wouldn't repent unless the Spirit of God does that work and does that quickening work. They would not repent if someone were to convince them being on fire. Because when the Spirit of God does His work, there is a change that is there. And then it says death. In other words, the grave gives up the body. You say, well, what about people who are cremated? God knows where all the parts are. He was the original maker. I think some people actually get cremated, so there's no possibility of this body being sent to hell. I think some people actually get cremated for that reason. All of the parts, God knows all about it. There will be a literal body at this great white throne judgment. That's death. So death gives up that body. Hell gives up that soul. They are together now, reunited. At the great white throne judgment, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Death is never cessation of being. Death is always separation. When God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve did not drop dead. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. When a person dies, he is not ceasing to be. He is simply separated from loved ones. That's why when you study the word death, that's a not one is a nautical term. It's a leaving one shore, arriving at another shore. But never is death ever pictured as cessation of being, because once you are born, you are eternal. And you will be eternal either in heaven or you will be eternal in the lake of fire. You will never cease to be. Separation is that thought. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. First death was physical, where you're separated from people. Second death, spiritual, where you're eternally separated from God with absolutely no hope. So those of you are saying, well, I'm not sure about all of that. Then you talk, I witnessed to a man on the street one time. I said, if you died, where would you go? He said, heaven. I'm a Baptist. Then he said, I was baptized. You hear that a lot with religious people. Yeah, I'm holding my bath. And I told him, you can be baptized so many times the frog know your social security number, and it's not going to get you any closer to heaven. Then he started telling me he hadn't sinned in 10 years. I said, when is the last time you witnessed to someone to lead him to Christ? He said, I don't see where that's any of your business. I said, sir, if you haven't sinned in 10 years, I'm going to stop talking because I'm about to blow your record because you're getting ripped at me. And now how foolish, haven't sinned in 10 years. Well, obviously he wasn't a Baptist, at least not a true Baptist, because all the Baptists I know are very much into sin. And, at least the concept that he was presenting wasn't how we would see that, never attain a sinless perfection. But we get to a point, okay, that youth group, the coffins were put away, the coffins were dropped into the ground, death. But the destiny of the soul was completely different. If some tragedy were to strike, you were going in a car, you were riding with someone, tragic accident, 3 of the 4 people had their lives taken. You were lost, riding with 3 saved people. Bodies would be recovered, bodies would be shipped, funeral would be held, body would be viewed, body would be dropped in the ground, that's death. But to the saved, with the Lord, to the lost in hell, awaiting the final judgment to the lake of fire. If that were not true, it would have been very ridiculous for God the Father to so love the world, to send His Son and pour His full wrath out on His Son, if there were no such a thing as the full wrath of God being poured out on sin. And the propitiation is Jesus Christ, the Son, bore the full wrath of sin. And He cried, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Father, if there's any other way that me being separated from you, may it be, if not, not my will, but your will be done. If there were no wrath that was eternal, why would that have had to take place? If you just die. And so those of you who perhaps are deceived and you have been convinced that, oh, I'll take my chances, you're living on very, very dangerous ground. You are one heartbeat away from hell. And as Christians, we need to be passionate to live lives that are consistent. So that judgment is fair. The faithful God judges. It is also a final judgment. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed on the man once to die. After this, the judgment. Now, in the day, what an expectation. God shall judge. What an experience. The secrets of men, it says there. What an exposure. Isn't that interesting that Paul is bringing that out? Psalm 19 and verse 12, David prayed, God, cleanse me from secret sins. Psalm 44:21, God knows my inner being. Psalm 90 and verse 8. He knows the secrets. Ecclesiastes 12:14. Every secret thing will be brought into judgment. Ephesians 5:12. It is a shame to speak of things that are done in secret. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding both the evil and the good. And if you're lost, I pray that you will experience the depth of conviction to realize that the wrath of God was poured out on the Son of God in order that you might have everlasting life. You say, well, in my opinion, I'm not the only one. If I go to hell, I won't be there by myself, because there are plenty others who will be there too. Problem is, it'll be utter loneliness. Be interesting, wouldn't it, to have a tour company and say we're going to fly to Hawaii, to the Big Island, and we're selling tickets for a volcano party. Say, man, this would be great. And what they do in the brochure, they say, we get you there, we feed you a good meal in Honolulu, then we fly you to Hilo, and then we get you in helicopters, and we'll take like 3 at a time, and then we'll drop you into the volcano. Yes! The fun part of it is, I'm not the only one being dropped in. How much is the trip? $1,200. Okay, I thought it's only one way. Okay, so it's $1,200. Won't be coming back. Oh, that's right. We're going to be dropped in a volcano. Won't be back, but will it be a blast? Because some of my other hooligans will be there with me. And when we go down in there, we're going to be, yeah! That's how foolish it is for someone to make the statement, I'm not the only one going to hell. You will be experiencing utter loneliness. And preacher, conscience, will have a pulpit set up on the street corners of hell. And according to Luke 16, the text will be, son, remember. Son, remember. Son, remember. Oh, I remember that chapel. I remember that art. I remember when Steve Pettit was preaching, I was under conviction. I remember. But I remembered I didn't want to let go of my life. I did not want to let go of how I did not. I, son, remember. One of the most torturing things of hell to be in the lake of fire will be their ability to remember. Because there will be full consciousness and there will be full memory. That's why Christ prayed, and Father, if it's possible. But yet when hell visited Jerusalem for 3 hours and the full wrath of God was poured out, he as the infinite one in a finite amount of time paid my infinite penalty. And my sin was nailed to his cross, never again to face it. But those of you who opt to go your own way. You say a loving God wouldn't send someone to hell. You will, by refusing the gift. And we plead with you. I mean, you're surrounded with people who love you. You're surrounded with people who care. And you're surrounded with people who are praying for you. And God makes it very plain what's coming. And it says in Romans 2, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. How good God is. I am so glad. When I was living a life as a teenager, not a life of rebellion, but I was not saved and I was too proud to admit it. And when I rolled my car, and that thing went, I thought I was dead. It was a very, very sobering thing. The car was on its side and my head was caught between the body of the car and the door how I got out of there, I'm not sure yet. There were three people inside the car. And I'll tell you one thing. At that point, I would have gone straight to hell. Active in the youth group, visible. But I had gotten too proud to admit that I wasn't really saved. Not running from God, not living in open sin. I was just living apart from the grace of God. Well, I better move on here to a close. In the day, what an expectation. God shall judge, what an experience. The secrets of men, what an exposure. There is nothing on your computer. There is nothing hidden in your car. There is nothing hidden in your briefcase in your room. There is nothing hidden in your duffel bag that is not known. You say, but I'm getting away with it. No, you're not. No, you're not. Why, Jesus Christ? You say, oh, I'm so glad for his grace. But the one who is the Savior now will be the judge then. John 5:22, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. We've already read in Acts 17:31 that he is the man who will be the judge. Hebrews 14:4-15. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. He is the one who won the victory. Philippians 2, the self-emptying. And every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews 2 is a sympathizing Savior. Revelation 20 and verse 11. He that sat on the throne. Who was that? The Son of God. The one who cried on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Well, at that time we'll be saying, depart from me. I never knew you. That will be the Son of God who cried on the cross. Father, forgive them. Him that sat on the throne. Romans 14:11, every knee shall bow. No one can fill in for you at that time. He loves you, the perfect love. You've heard the message time and time and time and time again. You are surrounded by people who love you. The gospel has been clearly presented time and time and time again. You don't ever have to doubt the perfect love that God the Father has for you in sending His Son. But He in that day will be the judge. And then it says, according to my gospel. What an examination. You know what will be there? The books will be there. You heard the messages and the book of life. Matthew 7 said, many will say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful works in your name. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. But Lord, that is right after a bad tree cannot produce good fruit, nor can a good tree produce evil fruit. By their fruit ye shall know them. And it's not a judging, it's a fruit inspection. Revelation 20 and verse 12, the word of God will be there. John 17 will be the sanctifying truth according to John 17, 17. 1 Peter 1:25, according to the eternal word. And David cries in Psalm 139, God, search me, know me, try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. It's not a minor thing to be saved and live a self-centered life. You're saved, yet so is by fire. But I believe the realization of what could have been will be so much different. You say, why didn't I just die to myself? Why did I not just let God have His complete way in my life? In the day, God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel. May we examine our hearts as a Christian. Say, am I living in light of the fact that I'm going to reap what I'm sowing? And as a lost person, I am rejecting the conviction of the Spirit of God. I am choosing to say no to His perfect love and grace.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today, Dr. Les Olala, with a message titled, No Doubt. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.